When I'm slow on the draw and I need something to chaw, I hanker for a hunk of cheese. When my 10-gallon hats are feeling 5 gallons flat, I got something planned, which is little cheese sandwiches. Come on! Here's a great little snack to tide you over till dinner. If you want something delicious and nutritious, cheese is the super snack. Look, a wagon wheel. When my get up and go has got up and win, hanker for a hunk of cheese. When I'm dancing a hold down and my boots kind of slow down, or any time I'm weak in the knees, I hanker for a hunk of, a slab or slice of chunk of, a snacker that is a winner and yet won't spoil my dinner. I hanker for a hunk of cheese. Yahoo!
Figure out what the hell timer is. The closest we can get is some kind of small fat like globule. That's it. Why, hello there. It's 2 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. It is the Rick Emerson, the radio program. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically speaking or in a super telepsychotronic kind of way, you can do that as well. It's 503-733-2970. If you want to email us with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you, it's Rick at, or your whatnot, as Donna Mike would say, it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can also call us today, 503-733-2970. Scotty J, of course, screening your phone call today. We'll do introductions all around. We'll talk about what's coming up on the program in just a minute. First of all, I'd like to start your day on an upswing with this. Since 1990, this is from the Centers for Disease Control. Now, in case you were just having some sort of a down day, there's a cloud of gloom over you, you feel like there's nothing to look forward to in your life, you feel like the entire world is lost and we're all goners and there's no reason to smile, you feel like it's been a stressful week or it's been a week that's been taxing or trying on your emotional state in some way, I'd like to put a smile on your face. I'd like to put a glow on your visage, a spring in your step with this. From the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Guess what's up 200% this year? Anyone? Up 200%.
You're so excited, I don't even want to guess.
Nail gun injuries. This is from Reuters, by the way. 37,000 nail gun injuries a year in the United... That's just in the United States. That's not even including Canada. That's not Mexico. That's not even including Venezuelans. And you know how Venezuelans are with their nail guns. You take a, this article from Reuters says, take a nation of do-it-yourselfers and a ready supply. Listen to this. This is the phrase of the day, by the way. This is how the article is actually written from Reuters. It's from CNN.com. Doing the heavy intellectual lifting, as always. Take a nation of do-it-yourselfers. And here comes the phrase. A ready supply of cheap nail guns. Fantastic. Somewhere John Carmack and John Romero are smiling. Add a ready supply of cheap nail guns, and what do you get? About 37,000 nail gun injuries a year. I never would have dreamed the number was this high. I mean, I might have fantasized. I might have had...
Did you say 80,000?
37,000, but still.
37,000 people.
37,000 nail gun injuries a year, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Since 1991, nail gun injuries have risen 200%. The CDC says in its weekly report on death and disease. That's got to be a fun job. What do you do? Well, I put together TPS forms. What about you? I fill water coolers. What about you? I put together the CDC's report on weekly death and disease. Quote, so this is from the article, this increase likely corresponds to an increase in availability during the 1990s of I don't know why this phrase makes me so happy. It almost sends little thrills of pleasure up my spine. The increase in availability during the 1990s of inexpensive pneumatic nail guns. I wish I had some sort of industrial band. That's exactly what I would... If I had an industrial, some sort of Nitzer-Ebb type band, some sort of Ministry Skinny Puppy type band right now, the band would be called Inexpensive Pneumatic Nail Guns. Or Ready Supply of Cheap Nail Guns, one of the two. Corresponds to an increase in availability during the 1990s of inexpensive pneumatic nail guns and air compressors to power the nail guns. But when the CDC looked at who was getting injured, it became clear that the number... They won't just come out and say morons. It became clear that the number of work-related nail gun injuries had stayed stable since 1998. It was... I love it when injuries soar, by the way. It was consumer-related interest rates that had soared to $37,000 a year. During the five-year period, 2000, and by the way, I'm going to say right now that we've been a fan of nail gun injuries on this program forever. I have one of my Google alerts. I shouldn't even give this away. I shouldn't give this away because it is some other hack DJ will use it, will learn this trick. But, you know, you can tell Google to flag you and even email you. I think Google will actually send you an instant email message. If a story appears in the Google News server that matches some preset criteria, one of my preset criteria, nail guns. Anytime the word nail gun appears in an article, Google sends me an instant alert about it, so I can immediately go read the story. Anyway, this is like when Don Geronimo was talking about how he'll while away whole hours at home. He'll just go to YouTube and put in head injury or accident, which I did. I was listening to Don and Mike the other day, and Don was talking about, you know, he's like, yeah, I go to YouTube sometimes, and I just put in head injury. And what did I immediately do like an idiot? I sat there and I typed in head injury. First thing that came up, guy sitting on a couch with a fork stuck in his forehead. You could tell it was real, too. It wasn't fake. Because it was somebody like, dude, you got to catch this. Somebody taking out his cell phone and immediately filming it. Guy sitting on the couch, he had somehow fallen while drunk, rammed a fork right under, sort of at an angle, right under the skin of his forehead. Anyway. During the five-year period, 2001-2005, an average of approximately 37,000 patients with injuries related to nail gun use were treated annually in emergency departments. Emergency departments treated three times as many consumers with nail gun injuries in 2005 as they did in 1991, the report noted. The CDC said more needs to be done to make consumers aware of the dangers. Really, if you have to be made aware of the danger of a product that in a trice can pound nails through wood, literally in like a billionth of a second, you pull the... called a nail gun. Really, what... How... I don't understand the X factor in trying to determine exactly how the product might injure you or trying to determine how you should handle it. It's called a nail gun. It's a gun that shoots nails. If you have to be warned, I'm all for you being shot with nails. If you really have to be warned about it, I'm for you being shot with nails right in the junk before you have kids. I don't know. Do you think this could harm anybody? I don't know. What's it called? A nail gun? Nail gun, huh? What do you suppose it does? All right. Anyway, nail gun injuries, all the 37,000 of them. I only say this because this article, I'm telling you now, this article will trigger a whole talk of nail guns. Zany DJs will be talking about nail guns all day long. I want you to know that we are nail guns and wood chippers, and that's pre-Fargo, by the way. We were big fans of wood chipper death on this show. So there you go. Just, you know, in case you hear that later on. Wood chipper.
I barely knew her.
That's a little delayed reaction. It's 503-733-2970.
I think in order to make that as funny as you possibly can, you probably shouldn't do it after every "er."
No, see, but I think it might become funnier.
Do you think the repetitiveness
funnier?
Is going to make it funnier?
Yes. Funnier.
I barely knew her.
See? You had to turn up the mic to laugh. You're laughing right now. No, you can't do any middle ground. This is the Chris Farley School of Comedy. You can't do any middle ground. You've either got to never say it, you know, like very, very, very rarely, or you've got to do it constantly. I have chosen the latter. Latter?
I barely knew her.
503-733. And you know, I'm telling you this right now, if we fast forward 6 months on this show, we'll be able to do a solid hour of calls from people who have said that at inappropriate times. they'll be, you know, whatever. They'll be in some meeting and, you know, there's somebody who'd like to be cancer. I barely know where that'll happen. 503-733-2970. You could almost, and do not, I'm going to stop this right now because I almost suggested that we drop a list of the most inappropriate words to which we would respond with that. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that right now.
I think we peaked with the whole cancer thing.
There's really nothing worse. Cancer?
I barely knew her.
All right. It'll be even funnier when I get cancer. Then it'll be relatable, too. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right, we got to hustle along. We got to hustle our hop or whatever it is that they say. Bust our hustle. What is it they say? What is it that Macaulay
Bust
Culkin...
Bust our hump?
Is that what it says? Is that what Macaulay Culkin says in Uncle Buck? Uncle Buck's got me busting my hump. That sounds a little creepy, doesn't it? Really? So that's how it is in their family, eh? Anywho, all right, what's coming up? Lisa Goddard is going to be joining us from the Hill today. Lisa Goddard from Capitol Hill. We'll be talking to Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent James Roop, who I swear to God, this is what it says. Jim Roop went out of the town wearing his clothing inside out today to ward off bad luck.
We'll get that.
We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank here in a few. Well, this is the, by the way, this is the final day we will ever have to hear the phrase Don and Imus. The back-to-back. So this is the last day we'll do that. Scott Daly's going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com later. We'll try to determine what is the worst news story in the history of the world. Let's see. What else do we have? Well, that's pretty much it. We got some other things. We'll do introductions here in a few. We'll find out what's happening at the Ministry of Truth. All of that. We'll get these calls coming up here in a second. Let's just take a brief moment. We'll go ahead and just leave the mono bed going out of this. Take a brief moment to talk to CNN radio correspondent Brian Blank in the city that never sleeps, live from New York. My friend, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm dandy. How's life in New York?
Oh, my goodness. I am I'm ready for the weekend. I got my wisdom teeth out a week ago, and they're still bothering me, so I need to go home.
You better hope you don't get one of those infected dry sockets. That's no fun.
Yeah, I hear horrible, horrible stories from people who have those.
Here's what happens. Here's the thing is, the problem with those wisdom, the big holes in your head left over from the wisdom teeth, if you're not careful with what you eat, you end up like a squirrel inadvertently storing nuts inside your molars for the winter, and that's no good, my friend.
And your skin closes over them.
Your skin closes over, and then the inside of your head becomes one big composting pile, and that, my friend, is not a way to spend your summer.
No, that's not a pretty picture right there.
Skin closes over them. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life, Sarah. Thank you for that. All right, so it's now, I guess it's, there's been some law passed that we have to use the phrase Don Imus like 100 times an hour through the end of this week. So just kind of, just so we can kind of get this done and out and on the record and finished. So they blew him out of NBC and then of MSNBC, and then as of yesterday, the show is gone. So the question is this like him riding off into the sunset, or are we going to see him resurface in some other form 6, 8, 9, 10, 12 months from now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he's been in the radio business for at least 30 years now, or almost 30 years. So for him to just disappear from radio altogether would be a big surprise, especially because some people are obviously upset at what happened, but, you know, not everybody is. So he, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise, I think, to see that, you know, he signed some deal with XM or Sirius Satellite Radio or maybe even one of the other networks in the future.
And so I know that, you know, he and Howard obviously don't get along, but there is, you know, he has a lot of ties, a lot of relationships in the broadcasting industry. It does seem like he's probably screwed himself out of a lot of his high-name political guests. So if his show comes back at some point, it has to be the kind of a different kind of broadcast. Doesn't seem like he's going to get Barack Obama to come in and sit down with him anytime soon.
Well, maybe not Barack Obama, unless it turns out that, you know, this is a really heartfelt apology. It looks like he's turned things around and that sort of thing. But I don't think he's lost everybody. In fact, I just read some statement from Mike Huckabee saying that he was defending the whole Imus situation. So, you know, he does have a lot of friends out there, and I think he still has a lot of friends.
Really, there was a white Republican fat man from Arkansas defending Don Imus. I'm stunned. That's really, I'm shocked. I can't believe what I'm hearing, Brian Blank.
Yep, there. Well, there you go.
All right. Did he, just a final note, there was some talk last night about, since CBS just fired him, whether he was going to go through a meeting with the Rutgers basketball team and whether he was actually going to have this sit down with them, now that it was sort of pointless, I guess, from a PR standpoint. And maybe that came down to how much he wanted to work again. Do we know, did he end up meeting with the girls on this team?
Oh, yeah, that definitely happened. It happened last night. It happened at the New Jersey Governor's Mansion. And he met with them for an hour or two. Didn't say anything afterwards, left. A little while after that, then the basketball team left. The coach came out and said a few words. But this afternoon, the team decided to accept his apology. So he did apologize to the team last night, and they've come out and said that they accept that. They want to move on, and that was good for them.
All right, excellent. Hey, if you run into Al Sharpton, you can remind him it's been 21 years and he hasn't apologized for the Tawana Brawley thing. So just in case you happen to see him on the subway or something.
Hey, there's one interesting sad story to that whole thing. That meeting that took place last night between Imus and the team, that took place at the New Jersey Governor's Mansion. The person who was supposed to mediate that was New Jersey Governor John Corzine. Now, on the way to that meeting, he got in a bad car accident. He broke 6 ribs, his thigh bone, breastbone, and cracked a vertebrae. So, very, very sad situation. He's in the hospital now. He's supposed to be out in off of a breathing tube in a few days.
It's been a difficult week for many, many people. This is one of those weeks where I really believe there is some weird total eclipse of some total eclipse of everybody's karma happening this week. So, all right, my friend, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy living in New York City, and we will have speaks with you in the immediate future, I'm sure. Thank you, Brian.
Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. Brian Blank, ladies and gentlemen, in New York City. All right. Boy, I do get the feeling everybody's just so burnt on this. Not burnt just in the sense that they're tired of hearing about it, but just, Likas was talking about this the other day, that the Imus thing just wears you out. Just the whole Imus story is just exhausting. I don't mean exhausting in the sense that it's tedious or dull, although as time goes on, it's sort of becoming both of those things. It's just that it's, I mean, I make it sound like it's all about us, but I mean, just talking about this, it just wears on you, man. It's just like carrying a big bag of stress on each shoulder. All right, 503-733-2970. We'll get these calls here in a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello there.
Hello.
Now, I thought you were going to be on the, can I say this, on the paper? I thought it was this week that you were going to be on the back of the paper.
I don't know. They don't tell me. They just told me to look for it.
All right. Well,
so she said spring, so it should be one of these days.
All right. Well, it's
something. I don't know. My friends love running for the Mercury at, you know, Wednesday nights to see if I'm on there.
It's a taut 14-year-old, it's a tattooed boy from Bishop's.
Yeah, he's a pretty boy.
Yeah, he is. You know, the thing, he's Swedish. And anyway, no, the thing about it is this on the back of the Mercury today, is this guy Kyle, who I guess is he's actually the receptionist at the Bishop's where I get my haircut. So it's kind of weird.
On Hawthorne?
Yeah, it's a little weird for stalking purposes. Yes, I get my haircut at the Bishop's on Hawthorne. So it's kind of weird to see somebody that you see a lot in one context, and then suddenly he's shirtless on the back of the Mercury. This all sounds really homoerotic. I'm just going to quit. Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, New Jersey's governor is in critical condition after being involved in a car wreck. He was supposed to be at the Imus meeting last night at his governor's mansion in New Jersey.
Imus should apologize to him right now.
Deirdre Imus kissed the gals goodnight following the meeting at the New Jersey governor's mansion. We'll have reaction for both Bill Clinton and Bo Deedle.
Really? It's just been too long since we've heard from Bo Deedle. I was praying Bo Deedle would surface and let us know his thought meditation on this.
And Karl Rove will be in Beaverton tonight. I tried to sign us up, but it's too late.
Really?
Yeah.
How much did it cost?
$60.
Really?
Wow.
Mm. I thought it'd be more. I thought it was a fundraiser.
It is of some sort.
What kind of funds can you raise at $60 a plate?
Only $40 for previous WCRP. Oh, I see. Only $40 goes to the local thing.
For what? For the WC what?
These are Washington County Republicans.
That's white. I think it's white something Republicans. The you know who had breakfast breakfast feet away from Karl Rove this morning was KUFO's own Dan Bozick. Dan Bosick was having lunch or having breakfast with a record rep this morning. He looks over, and there's Karl Rove sitting right across from him.
How crazy is
it's
that?
It's completely weird.
Wow.
And he said he got up, and he wasn't sure until he saw the Secret Service detail flanking him. But there, big, fat, pacey, creepy-looking Karl Rove was having the breakfast a few feet away. Becca, who works at KUFO Promotions, is just so weirded out by the whole thing. She said just the notion that she's within a mile of Karl Rove is just giving her the creeps. She's got goosebumps about it. So, no, he's just a weird Augustus Gloop-looking bastard. So,
all right. He'll get his.
And when we say he'll get his, we
breakfast.
Mean... he'll. I was going to say... He
probably already had his.
He'll get his bouquet of daisies that we're sending to the White House. What did that thing Marge Simpson... What's that thing Marge Simpson says in that review? Shoot him a smile. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What are we doing here? This is, let's go through these. Hi, Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, love the show.
Thank you, sir.
I got a quick question for you.
Yes.
Where'd you get the barely newer phrase from?
That is the, it's from an old Led, well, it's not from a Led Zeppelin song, but there's an old British joke, decades and decades ago, that then became the title of a Led Zeppelin song, and then it sort of filtered its way into American culture. And the joke, as I understand it, is this. First of all, it's a Led Zeppelin song that everybody mispronounces in America. They call it Dyer Maker, and that's not how you pronounce it. In Britain, you have to start with two premises. One is that things that end in A are often spelled, pronounced E-R, like how Liam Gallagher says supernova or cuber instead of Cuba. And also, if you accept the phrase, if you understand that in Britain, to say that you make a woman is to have sexual congress with her. So there's this old, terrible British joke about how I met this hot girl in the Caribbean, and then the other British guy says, oh, Jamaica? And he goes, Jamaica? I barely knew her.
So well, I heard it last night in the office. That's why I was wondering.
Oh, no. It's just one of those things that kind of floats around in the culture. I first became familiar with it because it was the inspiration for the title of that Led Zeppelin song. Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like pretty much everyone else here in Portland, you got us saying it every single time.
That's what I do, sir.
It's unfortunate all the time.
I try to help. I do it even when I'm not here. I do it. I'm driving around the car with my wife, and she'll... see, now, of course, I can't... When I try to give an example, I can never think of one.
Yeah.
Like, where's... You know... Can you hand me the pancake batter at home? And I'll be like, batter? I barely knew her. Ah!
Yeah, my girlfriend looks at me really strange every time I do it.
Here's an earlier version of that. Years ago, I'm talking like 10, 12 years ago, my friend Todd and I worked with this idiot. We worked with this idiot DJ, and I know that's hard to believe. But we worked with this idiot DJ who, he was next door to, we're always next door to idiot DJs, except here at CBS, of course. This guy named Sean, I'll just say that. His name was Sean. He worked at a hot AC, a hot adult contemporary station in Salt Lake City. Now, much as it's hard to believe that anything in Salt Lake City can be hot, it was a hot AC station. The guy had the big Ned Flanders mustache, you know, the corduroy baseball cap, shorts that rode way up to give you the big crotch shot, big, you know, like, he was a guy that clearly thought that Johnny Fever was his, like, fashion model, you know, to follow. And his thing was, he would see us in the hallway every morning with his big aviator sunglasses on. And he was like 40, of course, comb over. He would see us clutching his coffee mug. He would shoot us like the finger guns. And he was like a Ron Burgundy. He would shoot us the finger guns, and his greeting to us was, hey, guy, how's it going? And then he would walk by us, like in that low, rumbling, dumb DJ voice. Hey, guy, how's it going? His other phrase, which you may have heard people use, was every time somebody would say something, he would then retort from the other side of the room, that's what she said!
Oh, you gotta love those guys.
I hate that guy no matter who he is, no matter where he lives. That's what she said!
Yeah.
And so my friend Todd and I went for like a year where we just said it constantly because we hated it so much, but the guy subjected us to that phrase. And so we said that all the time. And so the I barely knew her is the new that's what she said.
I like it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Love the show.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. That's Matt. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi. Again, I'm not Brian, but I'll substitute for him.
Really? Okay, Scotty, how difficult is it to hear the name and then type the name correctly? I swear to God, it says Brian on the screen, right? B-R-I-A-N.
Well, he probably just misspelled my name.
What is your name?
My name sounds very much like Brian. It's Alexander.
Scotty, you're retarded.
I right. love the show, man. By the way, I noticed your restraint at talking with Brian Blank about the New Jersey governor was the mediator.
Right.
Mediator.
I'm sorry. That,
I barely knew her.
All right. Yeah. Was that the sole reason for your call?
No, no. Actually, that was just an incidental while I was on hold.
Okay.
no, I'm going to bomb out even better than that. So you were talking about pneumatic nailers?
Yes, I was.
I've got some wonderful stories about pneumatic nailers. I'm the furniture maker guy.
Uh-huh.
And my brother-in-law, the doctor in training who I
should I pull up a chair for this story?
No, you remember every once in a while you'll hear a story about one of those framing nailers and somebody shoots it and it accidentally goes into a guy's head?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, he was the guy that in the emergency room that helped that guy.
Oh, fantastic. Tell him to get photos next time.
Well, he said the guy came in, walking, talking, seemed fine. Just, you know, 3.5-inch nail stuck completely into his head.
Just full on Phineas Gage, just not a care in the world.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, or whatever, Alexander, I got a skedaddle.
Just call me Scotty.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Oh, boy.
Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey there, Rick.
Hey.
I kind of am under duress here. He handed me the phone and said, here, you say that. That was funny. But anyway, I thought we were just working away, and you were talking about High Man, and I thought, hey, he's probably going to be the next judge on Dancing with the Stars. And then he goes, that was very funny. You should call Rick. And I said, no, I won't. And then he handed me the phone and goes, yeah, you're on. So anyway.
Let me understand this. You were working with somebody, and you made this observation to your friend. He then handed you the phone and demanded that you call up and repeat the joke.
No, he called and dialed the number.
Oh, really? He just dialed it and then stuck the phone in your hand?
Yeah.
All right. What is your friend's name?
Jim.
Hey, Jim, don't be an ass. What's your name, sir?
Well, Jim.
That's my hand. You are freaking me out.
Oh, actually, there's two of us in North Plains, and he's North the other Plains. One.
Okay.
But hey, I'm that governor guy that got in the wreck. I was wondering if he was wearing his seatbelt, and if not, he better pay the fine like everybody else.
Oh, I was waiting for a I barely knew her joke. That's exactly what I was waiting for.
Oh.
All right. Hey, well, have fun in North Plains. I enjoy the Elephant Garlic Festival that happens there every year.
Oh, good. Come on by because we're going to put something in it.
Oh, really? Are you?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious about this. There's a garlic festival. See,
yeah,
this is local and relatable. There's a garlic festival that happens every year in North Plains, and my wife and I go there. I enjoy it quite much. That's not grammatically correct. All right. Jim, thank you. Thank you for listening. Spread the word, my brother.
Hey, always.
Thank you, sir. There you go. All right. We have no time.
We have to break.
Is it 11:30 already?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet zombie Jesus. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Take a break. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Tim Riley in the AM 970 Noon News Hour from the Ministry of Truth. We'll have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. The top five. We'll talk about the worst story in the history of the world, and quite possibly it's the worst song you've ever heard. That's all on the way. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll also talk about Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is coming up just in a short days. Is it six now? Never
six
mind.
Days.
Screw it. I'm just going to say it's six. 6 days from today. Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 happening next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. We will talk more about that as we plunge boldly ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. How you doing, Lisa?
Well, hello there. Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Let me ask you this. Hey, how's that search for the new last name coming? Somebody emailed me about that, and I kind of forgotten about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, we haven't signed any papers yet.
Because you've got Lisa Goddard and then your fiancé, Jason Sporbert, and you've decided that neither of those names, for various reasons, perhaps are going to be the one you're going forward with. And so
we know that we are dropping both names, for sure.
Okay, so it is a gift. So there's no chance that he would take your name.
No.
Now, is that a, now if I may ask this, is that your decision? Is that he not feel as a man he should be taking your name, if I may ask?
There was that moment where I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, because there's a, my two big brothers, there are no children from either of them, and I thought maybe I will carry on the Goddard name. But, you know, Jason really, he thought about it, and he said, I'm not that cool. I can't do it.
It seems, now, if I could just say, and I say this only with no personal malice in my heart, I'm simply saying from a linguistic point of view,
yes.
Aesthetically speaking about just the general color and tone and tenor and the sparkle and sound of language,
yes.
As an appreciator of sounds, both vowel and consonant based, I should say that Jason Goddard's not a bad name.
I think that's true. I really liked it. I really was into it for a while.
Jason Goddard has got a solid authoritarian ring to it.
I think so, too.
I would encourage him, as much as I do like the idea of conjuring up some new whole cloth last name for you guys, and then knowing that even after I'm dead, that, you know, the name will live on. I do think that Jason ought to give Goddard a good, he ought to give that a good, maybe he should take like a sample week and use that.
Yeah, I almost, maybe I should have him listen to the podcast here.
Oh.
But, you know, I understand where he's coming from. Like, we want a name that represents us both. He wants his own identity. He doesn't want to, you know, and his, the name Sporbert is his mother's maiden name, which he was given when he was 13. So he doesn't feel, he's kind of already taken a woman's name, you know, not to put down women or their names, but I think he just wants his own identity. So I understand where he's coming from, and I'm on board. I had to let go of Goddard, and Rick, I think you may have to as well.
Well, all right. I'll just, you know, I guess that's his bailiwick to whatever. See, again, it's like, well, yes, it's Sticky Wicket. Now,
can
I just tell you that not only am I not sure that Sticky Wicket is from cricket, I don't know what a bailiwick is.
Ooh.
I'm not even really sure how to spell it. I think it's spelled like Bollywick, but now that I say it out loud, and I would like to encourage the members of my audience to not call about that at this time. All right, let's talk about the this is more of this Alberto Gonzalez thing, right? And this is the endless the cavalcade of accusations and counter accusations. Now, am I wrong about this, that the Republicans got caught? Is this they deleted a bunch of emails, or they didn't save a bunch of emails, or they, like, shredded some stuff they ought not to have shredded? What are they being accused of today? I can never keep track.
We're now just assuming, when documents are mentioned, that some shredding, some deleting of audio, something like that happened. But we don't know of any shredding at this point. But the accusation is of cyber shredding, I guess you could say. The deal is that Karl Rove and some others at the White House had two different email accounts. One was their White House account. The other was a political account that was through the Republican National Committee. And for some reason, the White House says it can't find months, perhaps years, of emails from Karl Rove.
That's interesting.
That were sent out over that server. And now they say that the problem was, they say the RNC server was rigged so that if you deleted an email from your inbox, you just didn't want it on your desktop, you deleted it. Apparently that also deleted it from the server. Now, others are saying, give me a break. I don't know if I buy that, but that's what they say right now.
Well, I got to tell you, and this, I just simply say this as a nerd, that, I mean, I know that you can go on the Internet for, like, you know, like $20. You can throw down, like, $20, and you can buy software that will purportedly delete, shred, file, spindle, staple, fold, mutilate, and irrevocably remove files and items from your computer, that they're gone forever. So, I mean, and you know, and that's me, and that's only because I'm downloading illegal Britney Spears MP3s. I mean, I gotta imagine that the RNC, and specifically someone seemingly as nefarious as Karl Rove, would probably have. I mean, that guy's got to be smart enough to know that the deleting is the key. My question is it illegal to do so? Like, is the government like? I mean, is this a thing where they're required to keep emails and they didn't?
They are required. Well, there's two things. The deal is that you're not supposed to use government equipment or anything provided by the government, including an email account, for politics. So they're saying that that's why these officials had a separate account, was for political things.
Right.
You know, but there is some question as to this U.S. attorney firings. Were they political or were they official? And it was interesting that today the spokesperson for the White House, Dana Perino, we've commented on, not so a little bit easy on the eyes, that she did say, she didn't answer outright whether the whole mess was political or not. She said, well, that is one of the questions. So that was sort of an admission that those questions are out there and could be legitimate. But once you get past that, that's why they had the separate email account. But the question is, were they instead using that separate email account to get around federal laws of disclosure that could apply to the White House account, and that certainly everything at the White House account is being archived. That's known. So the question is, was this a way to dump emails? Was this a way around that?
You got to figure, I mean, you'd think that the White House would, the GOP would at least learn a lesson from the tobacco companies. You know, you remember the tobacco companies in like the late 80s and early 90s, they would have these memos laying around, like how to market cigarettes to fetuses. And then somebody would say, do you think we ought to get rid of all these internal memos about how to sell cigarettes to children? And then somebody else would go, no, what? Come on. Make copies. Post them in the washroom, you know? And you'd think that somebody would get it through their head that that's perhaps, you know, that they got to figure out a way around it. I got two other thoughts. One,
yeah.
Dana Perino reminds me of that woman in The Sound of Music that Christopher Plummer is supposed to be marrying.
The Baroness von Schrader?
Nerd. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I was actually just having a discussion with somebody yesterday about whether it was manly that I loved The Sound of Music, and I responded that just like West Side Story is singing gangs, this is singing you know, singing Nazis. So you know, it's all there. It's all sort of interesting and weird and whatever.
Yeah.
Baroness von Schrader, is that her name?
It is either Schrader or Schlegel. It's like it's in there. I think it's Schrader, but I don't know. I'm sure you're listening.
All I know is that Liesl, who is apparently 16 going on 17, looks like she's about 40. I don't know when the last time you watched that movie is. She's out there singing, and this is the gayest thing I'm going to say all day. She's out there singing in the gazebo in the rain with Rolf, and they're twirling around like they're on top of a music box cake. And really, she does look like she's about to hit menopause as she's singing about being a teenage girl. It really is insane.
That's right.
That's who Dana Perino reminds me of. Not Rolf, but Baroness von Schrader. Anyway, Karl Rove is actually in town. He's actually within a mile of me as I speak.
You're kidding me. Wow. Well, wow, that's great. Maybe he'll call in.
Actually, probably not. One of the DJs who works in a studio next to me, the DJs from our rock and roll sister station, had breakfast with a record rep this morning from like Epic Records or somebody. It's just part of a, you know, the record meeting. And Karl Rove was at the table next to him. He is actually in Portland for a fundraiser today. So I do have a point here, which is that between this and the rapping on stage a couple weeks ago and whatnot, I mean, Karl Rove either seems to me like he's got all this confidence that things are going well, or he's just given up and that things are hopeless, because it seems like he stopped being this behind-the-scenes man of mystery. Now he's just out. It's like he's had a cotillion. Now he's just out and about everywhere. So, I mean, is he more public? Am I imagining that Karl Rove is out and about more publicly now, or is that really happening?
I think he is out more publicly now. I think the correspondence dinner was definitely a big moment where they were trying to humanize him. But, you know, it depends on, I know you didn't really relate as much to him after that.
Oh, it humanized him. Maybe just made him look like not the brightest human on earth, I suppose. But,
no,
all right.
I think he is getting out there a little bit more. I'm not sure it's all together. I don't know how much of this is a planned operation.
All right. I will just leave you with this, that an email from Mark, who is, one of our listeners who identifies himself as being British, says, the term sticky wicket refers to a situation in which the pitch has become damp, typically due to rain or high humidity.
Right.
This makes the path of the ball more unpredictable, and makes the defending of the stumps. I think British people just make up these cricket terms.
They might. Wow. This was listener Mark. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, he says Mark the Brit.
Hey, right on, Mark the Brit.
It is a cricketing term. All right.
Well, so that helps me, because I was going to put that out there. And then also, bailiwick apparently comes from, it's the area that a sheriff can exercise his powers, a sheriff or a bailiff. If you were
a bailiwick,
so that's where that comes from.
And is it spelled Bailiwick?
Yeah, bail. Yeah, that's right. Two I's.
Interesting.
Bailiwick.
All right.
Administrator.
And you will know, by the way, just out of a sense of decorum and journalistic fatigue, I did not mention the words Don or Imus at any point during this.
Well, that's amazing. Except for now, this is one of the few shows in the country. Although, yeah, you know, it's an interesting situation. I'll tell you guys that the skinny at CNN, and no one's told me not to say this, so I'm going to say it. Is that for people who watch CNN in the morning, I don't know if they announced this morning, but Miles O'Brien and Soledad O'Brien have both been bumped from that show. And they'll be replaced by two other anchors. John Roberts is one, and I can't remember the name of the other woman. She used to be on Fox. they're replacing them. And part of the reason that they're being replaced, this is at least the scuttlebutt around CNN,
right,
is because ratings were going down because of IMIS on MSNBC. So how mad would you be if you're...
If you got blown out or bumped because you were being beaten by a guy who's not there anymore.
Exactly. Geez, couldn't you guys have waited a month?
That sucks.
Yeah.
That has got to suck.
Yeah.
All right. And I guess...
You've been very gracious about it, but geez, it's got to stink.
We'll see how it shakes out. It's weird that a lot of these... And then I know you're on tight schedules. So we'll bail here in a second. But it's got to be weird for a lot of those sort of more media-savvy politicians, writers, the Michael Isikoffs of the world and so forth, who have always used that IMA show as an outlet and who aren't going to have it anymore. It does make you... I mean, they can't all just go on The Daily Show. So it makes you wonder where those guys are going to end up and where Dick Morris is going to go when he needs to.
Something else going to come up. That's right.
Yeah. So
take advantage of this. We'll see.
So maybe.
Perhaps Rick Emerson.
Yes. That's exactly how I want to bill myself. The new Imus. All right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon, sister.
Thank you. Bye.
Fantastic. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen from the Hill. Fantastic. Yeah, let's get the marketing people on that slogan right now. It's 503-733-2970. Yes?
Oh, nothing.
That's an interesting look on your face right now.
Oh, no. I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
You looked at me as though...
I was looking up Sound of Music things on YouTube to go to break with, and I found the singing goat, and it was funny.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
La, 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 uh-huh. La, la, la.
And then I kept thinking of the horrible Gwen Stefani remake.
See, you can't think about it.
I know.
I love the Sound of Music. I really do. I know that that's not... Maybe it's not manly of me to say.
It's totally scary, like Nazis chasing them into that huge creepy area with
the
guns.
No. And then there's that whole tense standoff between Christopher Plummer and Rolf. And there's that great moment when Christopher Plummer says, "You'll never be one of them." And then that's when Rolf blows the whistle because his manhood has been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So and Julie Andrews is hot. She's not Shirley Jones hot, but she's hot regardless. She's pretty fantastic. So. And so forth. And then there's the wacky sequence where the nuns have stolen the parts of they've stolen the distributor caps or whatever it is off the Nazi squad cars. And Nazis are freaky. And I got to tell you this. And I was Court and Fatboy were talking. That's we were talking about the other night because I'm so over time. And then we got these calls. Court and I were having this discussion because he tried to get his wife to watch. God, what the hell was it? It was like Tron or something. The Godfather, some guy movie. And she was just like halfway there, she's like, "I can't take this," and she left. And so they've been together for a long time, and he had never seen The Sound of Music. And she tried, which is, how can you not have seen The Sound of Music? That makes you a bad American. And so Court's wife tried to get him to watch The Sound of Music, and he got about halfway. And to be fair, it's like a 9-hour movie. But he got about halfway through The Sound of Music, and he's like, "I can't watch this." And he just left. He pulled the ripcord. The Sound of Music is a great movie, and man... I don't do it anymore, but it still is emotional. I still get kind of choked up. I don't weep like a small child anymore. But I remember when there were moments, like if it was late at night, if I was really tired, or if I was just having a bad day, and this sounds so gay. And I would sit there, and The Sound of Music would come on. That sequence where Christopher Plummer sings Edelweiss that just made me cry like a baby. Well, because it's crazy.
It is pretty sad.
Because it's a man bidding farewell to his country, which has been consumed by evil political forces. And you know that I'm a total sucker for schmaltzy, patriotic stuff. I swear to God.
Is it the end of the movie when they're climbing up the mountain?
And I'll start talking about boobs and something in a second, and fire. And cars and guts in a second. And we'll talk about this guy.
You can't get more manly than Nazis than fleeing a country.
This guy who got his sack crushed by something. We'll talk about that in a while. No, it's a totally, you know what, it's a great movie in the sense that it shows, it shows Christopher Plummer as a man protecting his family and so forth. But when I was a kid and he would sing Edelweiss, I didn't know what it was about because Edelweiss is a flower. And that's all I thought. I was like, well, he's singing about a flower. That's kind of weird. And then it was, I realized, I don't know if it was explained to me or I just realized that he was singing about Austria. And about how he loved his country, but about how his country had been taken over. Draw whatever modern day analogy you would like. Whatever parallel you choose. How his country had been taken over by what he felt were evil dictatorial forces, and that his country had slipped away, lost from him, and that he had to leave, and that he was sort of mourning the death of his country. And so that you watch that now. And you realize that he's singing this lament, like this funeral lament for his nation, for his country. That's the saddest thing on earth. I might cry right now. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll do these and then we'll break. Cecil, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Yeah, Rick. Scotty's response was Anchorage, but do you know the capital of Alaska?
No.
Jamaica? I hardly knew her.
All right, that's really funny. Did you come up with that yourself, sir, or did someone prompt you to call in with that?
Actually, that was one of my father's jokes from decades past, and always trying to get us kids to
Hold on just one second.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount...
Get Scotty in here. Scotty doesn't get the joke, so I'm going to have you repeat it. All right. We'll have him plug in his headphones. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Hi, Scotty.
Good morning.
What was your observation about Cecil? He's lying on the screen.
Yes. Cecil?
Yes?
You know that I got it right first off when you said it.
Well, I didn't tell the
whole
truth.
You were trying to be a comedian.
I didn't tell the whole truth because I asked this question the second time, and then Scotty said, Anchorage.
Well, I changed my mind. Sure. I changed my mind because I didn't get a response when I first said the correct
answer. No, you got a response.
Scotty, do you understand why he called up? Do you understand the point of his call?
Well, what he said is kind of funny.
Which is?
Did you know the capital of Alaska?
All right, so you did get the pun.
I did get it.
All right, I was afraid that you hadn't gotten the pun and that we were going to have to take you out back. All right, okay, you did in fact get that. All right, so that was your father's favorite pun.
That was one of my dad's favorite puns, and just from Julie Andrews' track,
yeah.
The two best movies that she ever did, as far as I'm concerned, had to be Ten? And S.O.B.
S.O.B., Blake Edwards. Edwards right there. She looked hot in S.O.B. Yeah, that's true. And then she had that sad thing happen a couple years ago. She can't really sing anymore, but she was hot. And I love Blake Edwards because Blake Edwards, of course, gave us Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, you could ask Mr. Skin, but she appears topless in both of those movies.
Yeah, and I know she does in S.O.B. I didn't know that she did in 10. I haven't seen that in a long time.
She's on a balcony.
Really? And she was in Victor Victoria, too. She was pretty hot in Victor Victoria.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Cecil.
Take care.
There you go. Julie Andrews. Final call here, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Dave. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, my brother-in-law is actually the son, the actor who played Rolf.
Wait, hold on. Your brother-in-law is the guy who played Rolf?
Yeah, my brother Tom Truitt is the son, and I think it's John. I can't remember. Sarah could probably look it up, but it's Truitt, and it's really weird because it's T-R-E-U-H-I-T-T.
Right.
Yeah, his dad played Rolf, and to this day, his father loathed the fact that he played that part, except for the fact that Tom's older brother is named Rolf.
Wait, I'm so confused.
His Rolf.
Sarah, help me out.
Okay,
he hated the role. His wife looked just like a St. Pauli girl, so, I mean, they were as Aryan. And Tom...
Are you talking about Daniel Truitt?
Daniel Truitt.
Okay,
sure.
Truitt, okay.
Who loathes what?
Daniel Truitt, who was the actor who played Rolf.
Played Rolf.
Loathes the fact that he ever played that role.
Why?
He hated it.
Why?
Because after he did it, basically people were giving him hate mail. He was stereotyped as the
as a Nazi.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he went on to do a few other things. His son Tom, my brother-in-law, is actually a world-class tenor opera singer now.
Right. Right.
And he's kind of young still, so he's not at the age to where he'd be a household word.
Sure.
But he just and. When we first started meeting him, when we found out about that, we used to give him the IM-16 going on 17. But it was funny because he did tell the story. The girl who played...
Liesel.
She even said that her dad said, yeah, that woman, doing the scenes with her looked like her grandmother.
Oh, she's a very pretty girl and whatever. Yeah, she's like, I am 16 going out. And you're looking at her going, you were going on 16, like 16 years ago. So,
Daniel was 23 when he did it, and he was supposed to be a 16-year-old.
He was a fresh-faced Nazi, though, so.
Yeah, and do me one favor, please.
Yes.
As a man who might not be quite in the middle of your demographic, whose birthday is in the early 60s and whose age begins with a 4, quit calling yourself so frigging old, you person that starts with a 3.
All right. Sorry about that. Sorry. I'll take it back. All right. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Dave. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Okay, we take a break here. Come back, Tim Riley around the corner with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay there.
Every morning you greet. white, clean and bright. You look